This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hey everybody, Jamie Rivers here today. I am in for Jim Cromer, who is a healthy scratch today. And upon further review, we may have to buy him out this offseason. That is yet to go to the Board of Governors here in our office. And at the same time, I would like to welcome back to the show, off the IR, Mr. Darren Kimball.
Yes, glad to be back, sir.
Good, I missed you, buddy.
I say, you know what, that job, that word job gets in the way.
I hear you. Now, Cromer was thinking, like, we're going to try and call you today and do all this stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, no, we got to get him in for the last show. Well, we can't do it without Darren.
It's like two guys trying to work, one guy in British Columbia and one Prince Edward Island. You're way out there and I'm there and we're trying to get to the middle. So
I don't call me out there. You're already slinging insults here. I didn't even bring up anything. I've been really nice to you so far today. On air.
We just got here for a minute.
On air, that's right. Give it time.
Yeah, just give it a second here.
So anyways, buddy, look, obviously, today's a tough show. We're looking at a season that's ended prematurely in a lot of people's, I don't want to say it, in a lot of people's eyes, because I think some people saw this coming in the last quarter of the season. But my God, like the start of the season, you would have never thought this.
Not the way they started. You know, they got on fire and, you know, everything was going their way. They're playing the way they should play. You know, they didn't have any injuries. Goaltending was doing what it was supposed to do. The players that were supposed to lead were leading, and then I don't know what the hell happened. There's a bomb goes off, and then boom, it just it started tanking. And I think we'll get into this in a little bit. My comments or what my thoughts anyway, but it's just, you know, you get to that point. The start they got off to, we've talked on the show many times, Ribs, that you get running out of the gates and you almost put yourself into a playoff spot, right? And that's what they did. They were there. And for them to shit the bed that bad to get, you know, after the start they had, it's you know, so that, what happened, and the bad thing about it is you're out of, you know, I did this happened to me when I got drafted. We went to Quebec, and Quebec didn't, we never made the playoffs the first couple of years, and once they went to Colorado, they became good, but you know, you're done hockey in April, and you're going, Jesus Christ, what am I going to do now for 5 months?
It's a weird feeling, yeah, right? Like, I think only once in my career, luckily, that we missed the playoffs, and I was with the New York Islanders, and it just feels so early.
Yeah.
Like, the weather's just starting to get nice. Like, as you're, like, junior hockey, all the stuff, NHL, yeah. American League, IHL, like, this time of year, it starts to get nice out. Yeah. Guys start to, you know, wear a pair of shorts. It's like that, you start to get those butterflies in your stomach, like it's playoff time.
And you know, it's fun. Even if you only make a round, it still feels like you've gone somewhere.
100%.
Now you're sitting here empty-handed, like you're, it's just like you're, and I swear to God, when the season ends and you don't make the, I don't care how old you are, when you don't make the playoffs, it just feels like something been ripped out of you, because you would watch it on TV, and when you're watching playoff hockey, when you are capable of being a player at that time, you just, oh God, that kills you.
It's a kick in the nuts,
yes,
right? Like,
yes,
I'm sitting
is.
Here even as a fan now / media, whatever you want to call you. Yep. And I these days,
yep.
I'm sitting there going, God damn it, like, I don't get to watch the Blues this year.
Yeah.
Like, in the last couple of years, I've gotten pretty amped up for it. And especially, I guess my involvement has been a little different at times because I've helped out with Fox Sports and done some pregame and postgame. And you start to get into that mode. And I'm down at the rink for almost every game because you got to be there and you want to be there and you're watching the games. And now it's like I look around and, like, I schedule that I was, you know, supposed to have for the playoffs is long gone. Yeah. And now I find myself here with you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, you look at St. Louis. So the Cardinals are just getting ready to roll. The Blues are getting ready to go into playoff time. So it's the spring weather where you wake up and you got a coat on and you're coming home after work and you could be wearing shorts. The weather's there. And that's baseball hockey season sort of combining in St. Louis.
100%.
And the Cardinals, when they get going, because, you know, they're out of the gate running, usually the Blues, you know, the city starts to come alive because now you got both teams going. The playoffs are going. The Cardinals are showing it on their big screens with the games are going on. And it's just it's an awesome time to be in St. Louis right now. And all of a sudden, that's not going to be here. So, you know, they got a lot, you know. The Blues fans, even when I was here, you know, when we went through it, this town just comes alive in playoff time, and it's playoff hockey, you know what that's all about. So,
I agree.
You know, it's just that's the hockey. That's what these diehard fans would love playoff hockey, and you know, you get that taken away from you.
Well, yeah, and then you got some of the games like you talk about the Cardinals, Blues, and all that. Like last couple of years, I remember just being in the ballpark village, yep. Getting ready to do a show because they're on the road or whatever. But you'd have Cardinals, like, matinee or afternoon game,
yep.
And then Blues at night. And at times, you had it here locally, mm-hmm. where it was two home games. And, yep. Man, what a buzz. Downtown St. Louis was rocking.
It's a lot of money going in the.
It's a lot of revenue. You know what? We always talk about the owners,
yep.
For the Blues and, like, the revenue that they're missing out. How about all the businesses?
For sure.
Right? Like, for all sure. The little restaurants, all the bars, certainly Ballpark Village,
yep.
Who host watch parties and do all this stuff. That's going to hit him in the wallet.
Yeah, but like you're just talking about, on certain days, you're running a 7-hour period of downtown having whatever 30 some coming out of Cardinals, and then they're going to go watch the game.
You keep the police busy too.
Yeah, lots of work going on down there.
Some of the cops are happy, some of them aren't, right? Because they get a little extra time, but they got a little more work to do.
But it's just that air out in St. Louis, you know, that's just you're not still in the snow part. Everything's just coming, spring's here, and people just get excited about that. So, well, we'll wait. Maybe next
I agree.
Year.
Well, look, before we jump into the Blues in its entirety here, before we talk about the team and the players and the coaches and, you know, Scott trade and the renovations and whatever else we're going to talk about, I want to take a couple minutes and talk about, unfortunately, the tragedy that happened in Humboldt. Mm-hmm. Now, when that happened, it hit me. And I'm not even from Saskatchewan or you know, the prairies or Western Canada. I'm from Ontario, but I remember traveling the buses 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, what? Northern Ontario, where we couldn't even see 3 feet outside the bus, and, you know, we got to drive. I mean, this is close to your house, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
for
it's
sure.
Humboldt is how far from Lucky Lake?
Maybe three and a half hours away.
Okay, so 3.5 hours. Yeah. So you know these roads.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like we're talking about, well, we Googled it. We got you in studio right now. Like, what do you, I know what's going on there. And it feels like someone gut punched me when I heard about it.
You know, it was funny because I was in a movie theater and my phone was texting and I had it shut off. So I come out and I got like about a bunch of these messages on there. My buddy was calling me and he tells me this. And the first thing he said was Broncos. And I'm going, I was thinking Swift Current Broncos is right away, right out of the gate. And, then, you know, and then it goes, then I get the story and I'm going, you know, because when I was, I guess, 17 years old, the Swift Current Broncos, they went through their bus accident and I'd played in Swift Current.
That was like 86, right?
Yeah.
Joey Sakic was on that team.
Joey Sakic was on that, Sheldon Kennedy. But I'd played in Swift Current 2 years before that with Scotty Krueger and then the year before that with Trent Cressy, who both of them had, unfortunately, had passed away in that bus accident. But and then the Krugers, like they had two, there was, the twins, Scotty's twins, Trevor and Darren, and that's who I hung out with all the time. And, you know, so the humble part goes on, and then all of a sudden Sheldon Kennedy, who had rode the Swift Current bus, and Darren Krueger, Bob Wilkie, these guys, they all went to Humboldt to lend their support and what's going on and if they can help in any way. But when I see Darren Krueger on there, you know, that I'm back in the day in Swift Current, they told me during a game. It was after the second period I got told about this, and I was done. I couldn't play anymore.
I can imagine.
So, you know, I seen the Krueger's family, the mom and dad, Fanner and Scoof, I just broke my heart. I just didn't get it, you know. And I was thinking the other day, and this thing still keeps coming. And I saw where the sticks go out in the porch, you know. I seen you put that there, so I do it also.
Absolutely.
But it sort of ripped my heart out when it didn't. You know, the 5 W's when they always go who, what, where, when. Those questions are the who's, the what's, the where's. So you get all those answers. But then there's always that one why.
Why?
Why?
I agree.
You know, and I ran practice last night for spring hockey for the hockey team that I'm going to be coaching this year. And at the end of practice, I went to the kids. I said, you guys follow the news and all this jazz? And they go, yeah. And I go, did you hear the Humble thing? And they go, yeah. I said, you know, such life is so short. He said, when you come on this ice, you know, you should just be having fun all the time. Come on the ice to have fun, because you never know what's going to go on in your life. You know, your work, whatever, or accidents. But it's just, these kids were living their dream. And, you know, you listen to the stories on there. And the only other thing I'll say, and I'll give it back to you, but I was thinking about the bus driver, because Darren Krueger's talked about the bus driver. And I always did, Rivs. I would, when the bus was going down the road, and like you said, we'd drive it for 7 hours, 8 hours. I'd always went up and, everyone was sleeping, I always went up and talked to the bus driver all the time.
Oh, my God.
I would stand there and talk to him. And then I'd eventually make my way back, and I always got off the bus, and I always thanked the bus driver. I would always thank him, and not just that. That's just the way us hockey players are. We walk off, thank you. You know, you're tired, you're barely. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yep.
And that guy didn't have a chance. You know, you look at the bus and at the front, the coaches and all, they didn't have a chance. And
no,
it's just, it just breaks your heart. I still sit there and think about it. Even when I take my kid to the practice, it just burns me inside, man.
You know, it's hard to digest, right? Because like much like yourself, which is kind of scary. Now you're acting kind of like me, but when I was in Sudbury, our bus driver, Billy Black, that was his name. I'll never forget it. We had Big Fern, who was our driver. He was a former U.S. Marine. He'd finished up by gone back to Canada or whatever, found a wife in Canada, and he was a bus driver now for Northern Ontario bus lines. And so he was our first year, and he was fantastic, but then Billy Black took over for my last 3 years, and I did the same thing. I could never sleep on the bus. Yeah. And I'm a little bit of an energetic guy anyways, right? So imagine me at 15, 16, 17, probably bouncing off the walls every night. So we had the Gatorade cooler, and we put it up next to the bussy.
Yep.
And I'd sit on the cooler, and we'd talk for hours.
That's what I am. Exactly.
And it got to the point where Billy Black would buy an extra coffee and have it sitting there waiting for me. And, you know, it was kind of funny because he called it co-pilot and, you know, all this stuff. And he started calling me Roger, because remember Airplane, the movie, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? They go, Roger, and I go, huh? Just like, so, I mean, it's kind of silly to talk about this stuff, but I'm just, it's fresh on the brain remembering this stuff. So, and then,
so much goes through your mind, though, when that, you know, I'm not going to tell the story, because I could tell them, but, you know, back in the day when we travel, Rivs, the buses back in the day, if you know, you ever, and you know, they showed that DVD, a Slapshot outside on the ground for...
Yeah.
You know, every bus, hockey bus, always had one.
Absolutely.
And, but the old bus was, if you watch the movie Slapshot, how the buses go, that's what the buses were. They were called the Iron Lung. That's what these buses were. And we had, when I was a Swift Current, when I was 16 years old, the luggage racks up there, we used to sleep up top there.
Yeah.
And there was me and Aaron Janelle, Patty Janelle's boy.
Oh, God.
We were back-to-back. We had the Walkmans back in the day where, you know, you'd stick them in and you'd get the, finally come out where you could two guys could use the same Walkman, which was an unbelievable thing in that time. But so we're sitting there, Terry Jackson. We're listening to Terry Jackson. The one little story that it's so icy. We're driving down the road on ice. But that's what our life was. You know, even your parents would do it. It's just to get
funny,
to a hockey
game. It's like just the way it is.
Yeah. And we're coming down and we were coming down a hill and the bus driver – there were some deer that were on the road, and our bus driver, he wants to stop, but he ain't going to stop because the ice is there.
Well, he can't, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got to think about you guys in the bus.
So he starts yelling, you know, hang on. And it was funny because when this happened, like Kyle McIntyre, who was my roommate back at Swift Current, because he was on the bus, and he told me, remember the time that, you know, he started remembering these things, and we all just hit the floor. We flew out of the luggage racks, and we landed on the floor, and that scared the living shit out of us.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and that's one story. That, you know, these things, it's unfortunate, but that's – and you're not trying to scare anyone away. It's But it's just that's the way hockey goes in Canada. You got to travel, you got to drive, especially where cities are so far apart, and you know that's junior hockey. And you listen to these guys tell the stories. You know that's where Ken Hitchcock talking on TV. That's where you know part of our life was on that bus. You know, you tell the stories to your buddy or whatever. It wasn't always hockey. You're looking down the road. You're driving down wondering where your life's going. Yeah. And, you know, you're getting stuck in the bathroom back there with 10 people at a rookie party. And you're trying to find
the hot box.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you grew up there as a 15-year-old kid. And it was just, you know, and then to see that, and it just breaks your heart. It really does.
It is tough because you do remember so many hours, especially you guys in the Western League. Like in Ontario, we have, you know, some pretty good travel, but in the Western League, you guys spent days that thing. Like, you know, the rides that you had are legendary.
But like from 15 years old, this is when I started AAA hockey, midget, to, you know, part of the NHL, I guess I get away from the end of my career, I start riding them again. And, it's you know, you spend a lot of time on them damn things, and so... That's why I always thank the bus driver because God, he had 20 some lives in his hands all the time, and he's you know, and the weather always doesn't go your way, so it's kind of sad.
Well, I guess, you know, it'll be tough times for quite a while. If you know, I don't think people get over this.
No,
I don't think you ever get over something like this. No. But like you said, hopefully, what it does is it helps these kids. In the future, parents, everybody that's surrounding the game, hopefully it lets them appreciate every moment they can instead of complaining all the time or being upset or worrying about all this other bullshit. Hopefully they'll enjoy the game of hockey. And I know there'll be problems. And, you know, it's always the same. You're going to have ups and downs in hockey. But hopefully at the end of each day, parents are able to say goodnight to their kids.
Yeah.
And that they cherish these moments that they spent on the bus and that the people of Humboldt can, you know, get the support they need and the surviving players can get the support they need because this is honestly one of the worst things I've ever come across in the sport of hockey.
You know, and the one thing, and then I'll let we get going here, but I just found this out when this went on. So when, like, Sheldon Kennedy does a lot of stuff now speaking out for – you know, he got assaulted from his coach and sexual abuse from his coach, and then Theron Fleury and these guys come into the picture. But Sheldon's doing a thing where he's running across Canada, and he's speaking out on this. And so it's helping people out. And he's done it.
Theo's doing a lot of the same, too. Both of them. Commend them both for doing this.
And it's doing wonders. It's bringing a spotlight. And it was kind of weird when I – because Sheldon's doing this, and Darren Kruger, who loses his brother in there, and they're going – and when I found out – so when the accident in Swift Current went on – the idiot that was running it,
Graham James.
Yeah, I just a piece of shit.
I wanted to mention his name. He shouldn't go nameless. No. That son of a bitch.
But he. We had Colin McBain. I seen her name there. Colin McBain comes out, and she was the student counselor at the school. So if any trouble, and she'd lost two kids earlier in a car accident. You know, her own kids, and it's just. They wouldn't let the guys on the hockey team. He wouldn't let them go talk to counselors, and you listen to Bob Wilkie was talking.
Figure it out.
The way they got through it was they'd go down in their billets basements, and they would drink themselves into believing something different because they had
15,
nowhere to turn.
16, 17 years old. These kids are drinking their sorrows away.
Yeah. So that's the good thing. You got Sheldon who's in Humboldt, and you know they're doing this. So I think there's going to be, and like you say, it's never going to go away. It's these guys that live through this, they're going to have to live through this the rest of their life, and they'll never stop thinking about it. But at least they're in the right direction now. It's come, the coach ain't stopped. That's not going to stop it now. This Graham James clown ain't going to be around. So they're going to get the counseling they need to get them, hopefully, they'll never forget, but hopefully can continue on with their life.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like you mentioned, I think that the support, and the things that people are doing are fantastic, even though we know not everybody can help. Not everybody can pick up a phone and call one of these people and help them, or even financially. But I think what's important, and Theo Fleury said this or mentioned this on Twitter, was that it's amazing how the sport of hockey and the hockey family, like right now, you couldn't get a community, you don't even have to be hockey or people.
Yeah.
You couldn't get people closer together right now than what they are as far as supporting. You know, we had a bunch of things go out, like the leaving your sticks on the porch, right? Yeah. Like we thought, you know, my boys, we were like, it's going to be 1-2 days, you know, and we're just, you know, we decided we're just going to leave them there.
That's what I'm doing.
Like, leave them there. Like, I know at some point we'll take them inside or we'll move them or something, but for right now, it just feels right to leave them there.
Yep.
So, anyways, as we, before we move into the next segment, I know on behalf of Darren and I, we want to offer our condolences to the people who have been affected by this tragedy, and certainly, you know, we feel it with you.
You know, and you're right, because you can't even, I'm not even there, and I wasn't even, but just being a part of that, and just knowing that the buses we rode, it just, that what they're going through, and you know, the Joseph, he played in the National Hockey League, and I watched the interview that he went through, and when he's, horrible. You know, when he goes, he went to kiss, and I just lost it. I said, man, that's got to hurt. That's got, you know, but it's tough, so.
It is, it sucks.
Yeah.
So, well, people of Humboldt, players, former players, you will not be forgotten in this world, and we love each and every one of you.
For sure, for sure.
All right, Kimby, as we move on here into St. Louis Blues breakdown for the year, you know, we just talked about a little bit how things didn't quite go the way they wanted. As a team overall right now, when you look at this Blues team overall, we talked about the good start, talked about not finishing the right way. Where do you think they go from here? Before we get into positions and players and all that, just overall, if you're Doug Armstrong right now, what direction are you trying to take this team in?
Well, I'll tell you what, I've said it on here many times. I know you have the captain, and I'm okay with the captain being the captain. But I think there's got to be some guys with some experience, some leadership, to come in and push that envelope down the road. I think the leadership on the team is terrible. And by that, I could call out a couple players on. I'm not going there. But the leadership is just flat out. I think guys that are supposed to be leading the horses down the road aren't quite getting the horses down the road.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so I think there's and especially going forward, depending on how the young kids come into this process, if you're going to bring younger guys in, the older boys are going to come that much more important to lead the way for these young guys. So I just think that there's got to be something brought into this thing. That's my number one thing. I got a couple other here's, but that's my number one thing is there has to be some guy in here, like Ott getting moved up. He would have been a great guy to be in here to sort of, and I'm not even, I need a guy on a top two lines, though. That's what I need, that kind of leadership. A guy that's going to come in and like, so Shen come in, and I like him as going forward, but something like him coming in, another surprise guy come in and sort of maybe walking down this road.
Well, you know, I think Doug Armstrong addressed it a little bit in the press conference yesterday. He was flat out asked about, like, Ott back a couple years ago, about Ott, Backes, Brower, like this type of guy. He was flat out asked about that, and he kind of, you know, as much as you can admit it as a general manager, he kind of said, you know what, maybe we did miss those guys. Maybe we did miss those personalities. Maybe we did miss that character.
Yep.
So I think you're right. I think they're going to go and try to find somebody. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a veteran guy, right, or a couple of veteran guys, and they don't have to be the rah-rah guys. To me, it's more about your leadership in what you do and then holding everybody else to that standard.
For sure.
You know, like you've had great leaders and your day captains and all that. But to me, it always, always, always boiled down to if my captain or my leadership group or my assistant captain, or even if he's not wearing a letter, if it's a wily old veteran, if he's willing to go out there and do all of these things on a list, right? How the hell can I look that guy in the eyeball and say that, you know, I'm not going to do that?
Yeah. And along your lines, like when I was in Chicago, there, you know, you had your Chelioses, your Ronix, all the big boys, Eddie Belt, all the big names, but our captain was Dirk Graham, and so like that kind of guy. Duke could play on your second line. Duke could play on your fourth line.
But that's back when they had leaders that were real leaders.
Yeah,
just because they had contracts or top scorers or crap like that.
But that's the kind of, and I don't not wearing a C. Like I'm good. Petros can keep that, but I want this guy that's come in, plot him up there on a guy that can play on the top two lines, and. every night, you know, he's coming to the table. Every night he's going to put it on the line. And then that's where guys got to start following suit, you know. And then these guys that take high, you know, for example, Mr. Berglund, you know, he, great last 10 games, great. But where were you the first 70? You know, that's where I want to go. You know, the consistency part goes along with being, you know, a wily veteran, being in there, keeping this train going down the right road. And we don't got that here right now. And I'm sorry that it's not here.
You know what? Here's where I am with that is, one, I agree. Petro, you know what? Petro, for me, and I know we've talked about this on air and off air, Petro, for me, he did enough to show me that he belongs as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, especially coming down the stretch, like this guy logged an incredible amount of minutes. He was blocking shots. He played power play, penalty kill. You know, to me, he really showed that he is a guy who cares, that he is a stand-up kind of, not that he wasn't, but I think everybody at some point was kind of questioning, well, is he the right guy? Is he the right guy? And, you know, I agree more with what you said, being that, you know, I think he's the right guy, so leave him there, but let's surround him with a good group of guys. And it doesn't mean that the guys they had this year, once again, I just think that the whole leadership group that they had this year was much too much the same.
Yeah.
You know, like they're good leaders, but they're all the same kind of leaders. So when you need that guy who's going to pet the cat the wrong way or do something like you need somebody different.
But that's what my problem is with the Rivs. The leaders, that core leader group have been the same core leader group for the last 2 or 3 years.
No, I agree.
You know, once Backus and them get out of the way. But this, so the last couple of years, this is what we ran with. And I don't think this is carrying this animal here. You know, I think there has to be a separation. You know, I'll take Berglund. If you can come and give me that full season, what you just did at the end of the year, you know, you played well. You played really well. You're one of the best players on the Blues, on the forwards. But I don't see that here. I see it so inconsistently. Steen is so inconsistent right now. And he had a great, at the end, he starts to bring it a bit and the team starts to do a little bit better, but then he goes away. And it's just, you know, and I'm not going on these guys. I'm just stating, if I'm a fan sitting there, that's what's bothering me. And it's, you know, I come to watch a game and I'm having to beg the guy to say, can you get working? Can you get working? And I'm not, you know, I'm just doing it as a fan right now. That's what I see.
Yeah, no, you know what, I don't think many people will disagree with that, you know, and I think it's pretty obvious of where, well, I think, it, look, they're not in the playoffs, so something didn't work, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you can sit here, we can dice it up into a million pieces, at the end of the, they're not in the playoffs, so.
And then let's go, if you want to really pull the cat out of the bag, Let's throw Mr. Allen's name out there.
Well, here, this is what I wanted to ask you about this. Before we get into just Jake alone, and we will, do you think that, what was the bigger issue for you? Was it Jake Allen, or was it the lack of scoring to support Jake Allen through some of these times?
For me, I'm a fan of Jake Allen. I'm a fan of him. I think Jake Allen is very... Once he gets going, I think, like a lot of goalies, one of my better friends, Eddie Belfour, is the same damn way. Just leave the guy alone. You know, you can screw around a little bit. If you want to start pulling little games with him, you know, which coaches will tend to do once in a while. And I'm not saying Yo did that or nothing, but, you know, you're running – a goaltender runs on hot streaks. They always do. They're going to find a cold streak. And how you react to that goaltender, how you treat that goalie on a cold streak – is going to play. And you know what happened here when the other guy, Hutton, comes in and the town started falling in love with Hutton. And so Jake's sitting there going, you know, he sort of got kicked in the nuts pretty hard. Yeah. And I'm not saying the fans did it on tension, no, but Jake's got a history here. So.
I think the way it was set up may have been, God, I don't want to say they handled it wrong. I guess in hindsight, you can always go back and say, oh, well, maybe they should have handled it differently. But it's almost like, it was set up that way.
Yeah.
And it, not on purpose, but as it was happening, the fans jump on board. Carter Hutton's playing great.
Yeah.
And then Jake doesn't play great, right? And so then it's set up to where, well, we're going to go back to Carter Hutton. And then the whole world is like moving in this one direction where some of the other teams that have won championships in the past, you know, and Yo went back to it a few times trying to go back to Allen. But I think you got to manage it a little differently. I think you have to make it to where your goalies are a tandem and not necessarily setting it up to where it's one against the other and the fans pick. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And I think, but I think they've, if I was sitting there, Rivs, and I was somewhere else and I come in and I was going to be the GM and I had to make a call on my goaltending. So I'll guarantee you the guy that's sitting down in San Antonio is going to be my backup. I start out as my backup next year. So now I got to make a call between Hutton and Allen. And I would not be surprised, and I don't care if Army said it, and I don't know if he said he was staying with Allen or not, but I would not be surprised if they're hanging, dangling him out there somewhere trying to get him gone.
Well, I think they will be.
I mean,
I think it's only the nature of the business that if you're not 100% satisfied with your guy, I think you're going to dangle him out there.
And I think he's the best goalie of them all. That's my opinion. I like him.
Well, he's proven he can be all world. Yeah. Can be. I think that's the poison, right? Yeah. I got talked about the poison before about a guy who gives you like a good shift and then he like disappears for three games. Yeah. It's like you look at this and he's like, wow, right? And then it goes away, but you're like, well, I want that back again. Like, oh, wow, you know. And it's like that poison keeps you coming back for more.
Yep. And I think he's dangling. Wouldn't shock me at all if he's not here next year.
Yeah,
and
me neither.
It wouldn't either. And you know what? Realistically, at this point, it might be the best thing for Jake to get away from this because he's had a couple of years here where people are always going to, if he even struggles for a couple of games, you know that shit's going to be thrown on the deck right off the bat.
Yeah.
Here we go again. And so, I like him. Like I said, I think he's a fabulous goaltender. I think he'll be number one goaltender in this league for another 10 years because I think he's that good. But I think mentally, some things get him sometimes.
Well, I think to me, along with that, coupled together was like the perfect storm against the Blues was that beyond their top three guys up front, they really didn't get the scoring.
Yeah.
And like when you had Jake in his slump, so to say, their goals for were like one goal a game.
For sure.
And some of the games were shut out, and it wasn't even like... And Jake was giving up a goal or two goals.
Yeah.
And they're losing games. And I'm not saying that it's not all one guy's fault or not all the fault of the goal scorers or the goal. When you combine the two, it's just an awful situation.
To answer, how are you going to answer that, though, Riz? Because I've been beating this around in my head here for a bit.
You said,
I was just going to say there's a lot of beating around.
Jesus. That's like a 12-man squad up there.
But what do you do if Army's going to sit there and he's going to say, okay, and the fans are all sitting there wondering because everybody's talked about these young kids going to come into the ball game. You know, I'll tell you right now, Costin didn't make it up here all year long, and he's a first rounder. Something's
there, though.
Something's going wrong.
Something's wrong. He's eating too many donuts or something down there. I don't know, but I'm just guessing.
I agree. So out of the three or four kids that you want to talk about, Thomas, Kyrou, him, a couple of these guys, I don't know how many are going to make this jump to the NHL.
Well, they can't all.
No, they're not all going to go. So no, that's not
Kyrou, Thomas, Thompson, Blay, and Costin. Now, Thompson has the advantage because he was here almost all year.
I think he's here next year. I think he is.
I think he's got to be.
And I think Thomas is going to be here next year.
They're talking like Thomas is going to be their guy, right? So now you have those two guys who Thompson is traditionally a center iceman.
Yeah.
So Robert Thomas.
But here's the thing, here's where I was going with this. So this is all coming, but here's the play you got now. Now they got their own farm team next year.
Finally.
Yeah. So now I think the key to the future of the St. Louis Blues is sitting here with this farm team because now you don't have to run these guys, these young kids up here. Now we can maybe go – my thing to you that I would say to Army or whatever, I say, well, you either bring them all or you sit there and let's bring them the right way. You know?
Well, I think you got to bring them the right way.
And,
you know, they really, really, really missed out on that this year. And even Army touched on in the press conference. It's a difficult situation.
For sure it is.
And today's NHL, where you've got to farm your team, where you literally draft your players now, you develop them, and then they become NHL product. You can't go without your primary affiliate.
No.
So
that's that. So that plays another, these young guys coming up. Now the Blues got somewhere to put them and get their own coach in there, bring them along the way they're supposed to bring them along. They don't have to rush them through. I think the Thomas kid's going to find himself on this team because I think he's ready to rule. I think he's the most talked about, the most thing we're going to go.
They talk about character guys, yeah, too, and his name comes up. Not that the Kyrou kid, we're not talking negatively about any of these guys.
But some of these guys are going to benefit from this. They're having their own farm team, though, because they're going to get a chance to start where the minors, just to get a taste of what's going on. And then, like the we always go back to the Montreal. Or if you want to go to Detroit yeah, ran it that way for a while, too. So that they understood that that's how the game, the people that come way before us, and then Scotty Bowman is a big one of it because he's obviously was in both places. But you had to pay your price to get to that, and the great ones had to do it.
Well, they were slotted in the right spots, yes, right? So if you were a goal scorer, you got to be a goal scorer.
Yes.
You didn't have to be a third line, fourth line. Like, you got to, yep, develop the right way.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, look, as we fast forward just a little bit here, we have restricted free agents. And we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this. I think we already talked about Hutton as an unrestricted free agent, which we'll touch on again. But restricted free agency, Joel Edmondson.
Yep.
In my opinion, you got to get this guy signed.
You got to sign him, yep.
He's your, top three defenseman?
Probably your number two guy.
Number two guy, right? Like, give or take, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's in your top four.
Correct.
And he's still young.
Correct.
And he's logging big minutes.
Yep.
And he's some of your only sandpaper.
Yep. It's a no-brainer, that one is.
So that's a no-brainer. I think that they get him done, and they should give him a good contract, a healthy one. Don't marry yourself to him for 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. I think a 4 or 5 year deal would be great.
That would be good, yep.
Next one on the burner, which to me, it's a give or take with this guy, is Sundqvist. You know, he really didn't give us much for a body of work this year, yet, you know, I look at it as, why would you not re-sign him just as a depth guy that can fill in where needed? And, you know, he's got some NHL experience now. But that's my take on it.
Yeah, where's he going to – depends what you sign him to, Riz.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's just pretend that the deal is –
can I run him to the minors for a while? You know, can I kick him back and forth? That's what kind of player he's going to be for you.
I agree. But I think that he's not going to hurt us have him. Like,
get him at the right price.
I think he's the right guy to, you know, at least talk to,
yeah,
to get him back.
Yeah.
Now, the next guy, one of the biggest enigmas, we'll call it, is our boy Yashkin.
Uh-huh.
Now, he's a restricted free agent, and he's had the good fortune of being re-signed in the past with the hopes of. Where do you go with this guy?
I'm just going to speak from, I'm not in his corner. If I'm looking at the situation, he's one that can slide off it, and we can replace him with the guy we're looking for leadership potential. You know, I think he fills a spot. He's getting minutes anyway. They're giving him minutes that one of these young kids in 2 years is going to take away. So I don't need to marry myself to this guy. I can let him go and run in there. If there's no one going to touch him, but someone probably will grab a snag of him. If no one touched him, I'll say, okay, we'll play that old theory. Here, you can come back for this price. But I'll let him go out and test the market and see if he can run with the Wolves.
Yeah, I agree. I think that nothing personally against the guy.
No.
I just think that he's been given plenty of opportunity, yep, to solidify himself here.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, he hasn't done that. In my opinion, the young guys coming in, plus the possibility of free agents coming in, I'd rather experiment down that road.
Yes,
I already kind of know what I'm getting over here.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's not terrible. And if we have to revisit it or if we have to get them back, like, it's not going to be awful, but I'm going to go explore other things first.
You, Mr. Armstrong has to come with something new, because if he comes back with this crew here, I'll tell you, they'll run his ass out of here so quick, it won't even be funny.
Yeah, I think the fans want change.
They want some kind of change.
But you got to be careful, right? You
can't change just, right.
You can't just change for the sake of change.
But I think he's going to have to
marry
himself.
I think this is a guy that he can change.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I mean. You're not going to swap the whole market, but you got to. This guy can fly off, and we can bring something in and for the better.
I agree. So we touched on Carter Hutton earlier. We're going to move on to unrestricted free agents before we wrap up here. And Carter Hutton, in my opinion, I don't see them re-signing him, not because they don't want to. I think that Armstrong would love to re-sign him for the right price. But with the numbers that Carter Hutton put up this year, and you heard him in the media, he wants to be a 1A goalie.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to get a 1A spot here.
No.
not unless something dramatic happens where they deal Jake Allen and they move. But that's now we're like waiting on all these other things to happen.
So if Jake's sitting there, if Jake was to go away and they traded Jake away, who's your goalie of the future?
Husso.
Yeah. So if you're not going to build a – you're not going to get Hutton. He's not going to sign a one-year deal. He's probably going to get something better than a one. He's going to get a two- or three-year deal.
I think he's going to get a three-year deal.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get – I think it's going to price the Blues out of the – because they don't want him for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Because Husso is going to be their goalie of the future. Or
yeah,
if they want to go the other way, Jake stays, and Jake's going to be their goalie.
Well, but either way, the problem that's going to run – that this whole thing where it comes to, the head, is
– yeah.
Hutton wants something that the Blues can't give him.
Exactly.
They can't give him 1A.
No.
They can't. Not with Jake Allen with three more years at $4 million.
I think they would give him 1A for 1 year, but they're not going to get him for 1 year.
Possibly, but then you have you run into the roadblock of now you got Husso, Allen, and Hutton.
No. I'm saying if they're going to give him 1A for 1 year, Allen's going to be traded away. So, and they're waiting
but
for
Husso. But he's not going to take a 1 year deal.
No.
I wouldn't.
That's what I mean. So you're not going to get him for a 1 year deal.
So I just think that this marriage just doesn't happen just because of technicality. The next guy who I think impressed a lot of people this year, I think people liked him to start with, but I think he impressed a lot of people, was Kyle Brodziak.
Yes, he had a really good year. Of all the forwards, if you're grading him, he's got a grade pretty high for you
because
he did his job.
He did everything.
He comes to play every night.
He was like your Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You know, play second line, third line, fourth line, penalty kill, power play, face-offs, gritty.
I think that's part of the makeup that you're trying to build towards.
Yeah.
So I think he's a must come back to.
Now, flip the coin. Is he a guy that will go looking for more money or more years, or do you think he's going to be a guy that is happy with his situation in St. Louis and wants to come back at a reasonable price?
I think... You know, the day of the time that we're playing in right now, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Uh-huh.
So they think. I'm half my life's gone, but when you look back on it, you always thought, you know, maybe should have I stayed in that place where things were good for me instead of chasing that money. Everyone wants to chase money. You always, because you feel you deserve that money. But sometimes just take, because the kid's going to make pretty good money. And you want
I think he's going to be fine on this next contract no matter what, right? Like,
and you want look, when it comes down to it, it's great to get a great contract, but if you're going to get a contract and not play and you're not if you got a coach that likes you and you sometimes that wins out, man.
I think GM knows him.
Yeah.
Coach knows him. The fan base, to my knowledge, really likes this guy.
Yeah.
So to go off and try to build that stock up somewhere else where they won't know who the hell Kyle Brodziak is.
Nope.
What he brings to the table, what he's done, how he's stepped up, how he's done all these things.
Yep.
They're not going to know that, right? So if I'm a player and I look back at that, I go, I could stay in St. Louis where right now everybody's happy with me.
Yep.
I've done a good job. I've been a good soldier. I'm going to get a pretty decent contract. Doesn't have to be life-changing.
No.
You know, but.
Depends if his agent's Jerry Maguire or not.
That's true.
Show me the money.
You know, I mean, you'd hope a guy that's at this age, this many years around the league, you think he'd have figured out enough on his own?
I agree.
But
now, if you're going to sit there on that circumstance, just say, I don't know, like Pittsburgh, if there's a team that's in the top five bracket and they're offering you, that you got a chance maybe to chase Lord Stanley down.
Yeah, but still, I think you're throwing yourself in a situation where
you are,
the coach doesn't know you as much.
He doesn't have
GM
a cup.
Brodziak
doesn't have a cup.
No,
does
he doesn't.
So he's still going to want to chase. That's part of this game when you're getting.
But you know what happens when you chase, right?
Yeah, I do.
You just keep fucking chasing and chasing and chasing, and sometimes you never find it.
Yeah, but I'm just giving you another side of the fence here.
No,
so,
I get it. I get it.
You know, we all played this game because we loved it, but, you know, it was always about Lord Stanley, too.
So yeah.
That's part of the way.
Well, maybe, you know, but then, once again, maybe the Blues can prove to him that what they do this offseason or what they're going to do is.
I'll go with that.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll go
like,
with
we don't
that.
Know, right? Unfortunately, it's like fantasy land again, right? We just don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you know what? I think we've kind of. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. I think we understand. You know, final thoughts for you on this season, Kimby.
And I think we've talked about it all show. There was so much hope, and it was sort of like a little roller coaster right here, because then Jake gets hot and they win six, and then all of a sudden they come and they screw up against the Blackhawks. They're up 3-1 and they screw that game away, and then they go to Colorado and just basically lay an egg. And so it's a team of team of just up and down roller coaster ride, and I think the fans, you know, and myself included, got disappointed with that because I'm a guy that the teams that I like to watch are the teams that come and I know they're going to work every night and it's going to be laid on the line every night. And that's just, you know, that's what I grew up with being. And I think the Blues are, they're like the hardcore fans that want to, they're the work, they got the white, the blue collar and they're coming to work and that's what they want in front of them. So, you know, it was a disappointing, like we talked about earlier, there's no playoffs. It's that time of year, playoff hockey. You can smell it in the air. It's that kind of, the air is flowing. So we don't got that. Now, I think this is Mr. Armstrong's defining moment coming up here in St. Louis. He's either going to figure this out, find some people to put in the place, or he's going to end up riding off into the sunset.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. You know, my final assessment of this season would echo or repeat what Ken Hitchcock has said before. And he said, it's all about gathering information, right?
Yeah.
And Hitch loves that information thing. No, Hitch is no longer with us, but I'm going to use that as a point of reference here when we talk about, I think that Doug Armstrong and the ownership group have probably accumulated enough information throughout this hockey season, especially when things start to go bad. Because you get the true feel for things when things go bad, right?
Correct.
So I think that they've gotten enough information now to let them go and make moves that they need to make. Now, the biggest question is, will he make the moves he needs to make? Will he be able to? Will those players be available? And so on and so on and so on, right? Yep. So to me,
he's either going to go young. Or he's going to – I don't think there's really a middle ground.
I think there is.
Do you think there's a middle ground?
I think there is because I don't think that they're going to get rid of Steen. Okay, so he's not getting any younger. You're going to keep your top three, Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko, Steen, and then you're going to mix in there a Brodziak. He's not a young spring chicken anymore. Now you mix in a Thompson, a Thomas, a Fabry. Can't forget him.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you have a little bit of a blend there. So – I don't think you have to be veteran or young. I think you can have a splash of youth in there and not necessarily have to go full rebuild.
I think where I want to go on it, though, is if he's going to – if you'll be able to tell at the start of the season where they're going here. So if how many of these young kids, which way they're going to play their cards.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to be looking for next year when I come to it. You know, obviously, if they got any free agent signings or who's coming and who's going, also, you know, the top six guys, you're going to see that's going to be on the table. So we're going to see that. My thing is, my question mark is, what are they coming with it? And is it going to be how many young guys are coming with it? Who did they add to come with it? You know, that's what my curiosity question is going to be with this going on.
No,
so I don't mean young. It's just going to be, I hope some of these kids make it because that's what you draft them for in that position. You know, every team once got a first round and they come with it. But I hope they do it right. I hope they build these, let these guys go to the American League or wherever they're playing at and in San Antonio and build themselves to be the future of the Blues.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, I think that at the end of the day, you and I and everybody else in the not in the locker room can dissect this and go in 10, 20 different directions. You know, these players, the Kyrus, the Thomas, the Thompson, the Blay, the Costin, these guys will all, they'll tell us if they're ready or not. You know, their play will tell us. The way they show up in training camp will tell us if they're ready.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, I say you can have a certain direction that you think you're going to go in, but ultimately, like, come training camp, that'll give you all your answers when it comes to your youth. Now, your veteran guys have to be ready, and then whoever you bring in the offseason, because you know he's going to go looking for unrestricted free agents, he has to make sure that those guys are a good mix with what he currently has, and then also a good mix to bring on young guys to help them develop as well.
And what do you got? You got Fabry sitting there with Barbashev sitting there?
Fabry, Barbashev.
Barbashev started putting some in. Yaskin, these guys started
I think he learned his lesson.
Yeah,
I think Barbashev learned his lesson. I think he comes back. I think Fabry comes back. What version of Fabry? I hope it's right where he left off.
For sure.
Personally,
I agree.
If so, that's a huge bonus for the Blues.
Yes, it is.
You got your boy Patrick Berglund.
Yeah.
Who?
P. He'll probably start the year here.
You know.
But now he's got some weight on his shoulder. He did have a good thing.
He did have a good year. And he had over 20 goals last year.
Yep.
I think that if Doug Armstrong was to make a move with Patrick Berglund, I think right now is probably, like, before the draft or at the draft, is probably the ideal time for him to do it.
I wish they would. That guy out of Ottawa, I wish they would have.
Hoffman.
I wish that guy would have.
Well, that's, you know, and they got Sobotka sitting here, too.
That's got to go.
You know, in my opinion, these are guys that can be moved.
Yeah.
You know? And if they don't move them, it's not the end of the world, because Berge actually, you know, he finished strong. So it is what it is. I think you can work with him.
Yeah. He finished strong, and they need to move him. Good job.
Yeah, well, you know, it does work out. It's funny how that works, right? But that's why I said right now his stock is pretty high.
His stock's
higher. Certainly, if you match up his stats from last year, you go, wow, this guy had a couple of pretty good seasons, you know, and he's big and he's all the things that make you salivate. So we'll see. Look, to wrap up the show, Kimby, I want to thank you for a great season. It's always fun being in here, shooting the shit, and going over this stuff. You know, I'll be back a couple of weeks at a time here to bring you some playoff bracket from the NHL, and maybe we'll be lucky enough to have Darren jump in with us from time to time. But thanks a lot for a great season, buddy. It's always a good time.
Yeah, no, it's been a blast talking about it. Enjoyed it, and, you know, we get into the coaching business again here next year, so that's fun. So, you know, let's continue this roller coaster ride with my kid for a little bit here. So,
I like
it. And yourself.
So, I like it.
Been a blast, my friend.
Well, thank you. In closing, certainly want to thank our friends, our sponsors, our best friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. They have a lot of different portions of their company: Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, Innovated Electric. Randy and Stephanie Green are the blue collar people that you love to hire to do your work for you. 35 years experience, second generation craftsmen, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. You're not going to find somebody better to do the work for you. We got to remember our good friend Butter, on the bench with Butter, downtown Tommy Brown. We talked about more names than a stripper. Tax Resolution by TommyBrown.com. This guy will help you out and hopefully have you plan ahead so that you don't need to be helped out. Have you set up with all your taxes and your accounting needs. SynergyHockeySkills.com. Sponsor all year long. Certainly a company that's trying to continue to develop players in the city and move them on. We have Nelson Land Services, our good friends, the Nelson family. A good buddy of ours, Kimby, one of your best buds. Great family, great business. Any landscaping you need, check these guys out on their webpage, NelsonLandServices.com. So much fun stuff to look at. And certainly this is the time of year where you're looking to do some stuff to your front yard before it gets too dang hot out there. Give these guys a call. So once again, I want to thank you for tuning in. And until next time, go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.